Praise God. I want to share something with you tonight. So get your Bibles out. That's pretty sad. Get your Bibles out. That's a little better. Thank you. Go to Psalms 44. Old Testament, Psalms 44. I've been preaching and sharing with y'all these Sundays about y'all being VIPs. Is that kind of even starting to sink in on you? Y'all believe it, or you just, after you leave church, just forget about it? Just going out in the world and say, oh, well, Pastor, he's nuts anyway. He don't know what he's talking about. No? Amen. Well, it's okay. If you're learning, you know, you're growing, then it's good. Amen? You're VIPs. We got to get this in our heart. And I was reading Psalms 44, and something jumped out of here to me. And I'm not going to go back and put this in the message that we're talking about on Sunday. But, you know, Sunday we're talking about you being, that the Bible says Jesus went about doing good. We're talking about doing good. And we're talking about being, that word means to be a philanthropist. And that we are philanthropists. We're philanthropists not because we have, you may be because you have large money, but you're a philanthropist because if you have all of heaven that is given to you, Ephesians 1:3, you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But then our job in this life is to take from our storehouse, to take from what's been given to us already in heaven and give it to somebody else. And when you do that, you're a philanthropist. And one of the things that we miss so much, because one of the things that I learned when I used to travel overseas and go to remote places and, you know, out into the jungle and Africa and different places that I've been in life, and you meet people, people don't know anything. I mean, folks, you guys are like, you know, the highest educated doctors of theology compared to the world, because the world doesn't really know Jesus. I mean, imagine like when I was in Russia in the early 90s, they had never even read a Bible, didn't have a Bible, couldn't get their hands on a Bible. They were just ravenous for any piece of paper that even had the scripture on. That was in the 90s. So you're talking about what knowledge that you have is it's a wealth. And when we're around people today, there's so much. I would say here that most of what we run into is wrong thinking or misconceptions. People think they know what's right, but it's really not scriptural. It's certainly not biblical. They've learned this from something or whatever, or they think God is like this. Well, don't, you know, mess with God. You make him mad, he'll kill you, you know. And, you know, they have a wrong conception more than they don't have any knowledge of God at all, right? I remember being overwhelmed in the Ukraine one time preaching, because there was this crowd of people, and you could just feel the ravenous hunger. They wanted to know God. And so, it hit me. They don't know anything. They don't know the first thing. I mean, like, it was like, how do you preach? How do you tell them anything? How do you start? I mean, you can't start it. Okay, well, there was Adam and Eve and in a garden, you know, and work a whole message all the way up to Jesus. And I was just blown away, and I was panicking, and I was getting ready. They were about, you know, 5 minutes for calling me up to speak, and I was panicking because I was like, how do I tell these people about Jesus? How can I start? How can there be anything? How can I do this, Lord? And I just wanted to just duck, tell, and run, because I was like, they want to know something, and how can I possibly do this? And I remember looking down at the ground, and I was just saying, Jesus, 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 man, what am I going to do? And I looked down at the ground, there was a leaf laying on the ground. It wasn't a maple tree, but it was a leaf that, you know, kind of looked like a maple leaf. It really stood out with its points and everything on it. And he said, pick up that leaf. And I picked up the leaf. And he said, go tell them I'm the God that made this leaf. And I'm like, what? You know, what are we talking about? How, you know, and I remember that's all I had. I walked to the pulpit. There was about 1,000 people standing out in this park. I walked up there with a leaf in my hand. I thought, man, you are the biggest dummy, the face of the earth. And so then I just got up there and said, all right, that's what you said. So I just held that leaf up and I said, I'm here today to tell you about the God who made this leaf. And then as soon as I said it, then it was like the Holy Spirit started speaking to me what to say. And I said, and I'm here today to tell you about the God that made you. And you know, and I just went on from there, and it turned out, you know, all the whole thousand people got saved at one time. And this scripture says right here, it says, we have heard with our ears, O Father. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days. One of the greatest philanthropic tools, I guess it would be philanthropic tools, if that's a word, that you have is your testimony. Listen to me, a lot of times we forget about it. But the greatest tool that you have in your that you can take from heaven and distribute to somebody else is just simply the testimony of what Jesus has done for you. When you're out there in the world and people are hurting and they have questions, they have this, it's one of those things, it's like the story of the blind man when he said, you know, I don't know what happened. All I know is I was blind and now I see. Your greatest weapon, your greatest tool in your arsenal is your testimony of what you know that Jesus has done for you. I'm not so sure that when, you know, that we read the Gospels and we preach the Gospels, but you got to understand all of the Gospel in the New Testament was nothing but those people going out into the world and telling them that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed that He had changed their life. He had moved in their hearts. He had taken the pain from their heart, and He'll take it from your heart. They didn't know all. They didn't know Scripture and verse like we do today because they didn't have a Bible. It wasn't written down. It was their testimony. So it says right there that their fathers told them. So in other words, they said, yeah, son, we were there the day that God parted the Red Sea and we walked through on dry land and it was wild, man. The river, you know, the walls of water were up there and we could see fish in there. And man, we were freaked out and scared, but the ground was dry. We knew God had to be doing it and nobody really messed around. We all got out of there pretty quick. But, you know, I mean, this is what they were telling them. And it changed their sons' lives. Right? So this great tool you've got in your arsenal is your own testimony. What has God personally done for you? One of the great sins of familiarity that we have in life is that all of us, we get used to God doing things for us. And then when you start taking it for granted. And that's the first step going down the road to apathy and complacency. And if we don't watch ourselves, then we think God's not moving fast enough for us. I mean, my life could end today. I could just drop dead right now in this pulpit, fall out of there on the floor, and y'all just put me in a sack and haul me off. And I have more testimony of what God's done in my life. There is so many, many, many things that would fill a volume of a book that I can say, God has done this for me. I've seen it. I know you're not going to convince me any differently that Jesus is not real, that the Holy Spirit's not real, that God, my Father, has not moved in my behalf and done things for me. And we forget that that's what the world needs to hear. We try to get too technical. We try to get too deep. We try to come up with all these, you know, the answers for this and where the dinosaurs came from. And, you know, I joke about that all the time because one time we were in youth and I was getting to thinking I was a pretty hotshot youth pastor. And so we had all the kids. And this is way back before the building was just real small. We had no fellowship hall, no nothing. And so I had all the kids in the circle. I said, y'all just ask me a question. Any question you want to ask me? Because I got an answer for you. And one of the kids popped up and said, where did the dinosaurs come from? I said, smart aleck. You know, I'm just telling you, those kind of people in life, I mean, they did that to me as a joke. the kids did, but what I'm trying to say is those people in life, I don't know what you're going to do with them, but there's a million of them out there that want to hear your testimony. You know what I'm saying? The people that want to just be argumentative and just want to debate and just want to just say, God bless you. Have fun. Live your life. You know, and leave me alone. But the people that are really hungry, what they're going to respond to is, what do you know is true? What do you know is real? That's what they're going to respond to. That's your great tool in your bag of being a philanthropist, is being able to tell people, well, I know God, you know, did this for me. God put my marriage together. God healed me. Or God did this and God did that. Because that's real. Folks, there's power in that. When you begin to speak and declare your testimony, you are literally releasing the power of God on the inside of you to people. When I first started preaching, I didn't have anything to say because I didn't really know anything, you know, biblically speaking. I just had my testimony. I just go to the jails and preach, tell everybody what God had done for me, how God had delivered me, saved me, set me free. Man, just people would get saved left and right because they were hungry. Every time I seemed to venture off my testimony in the early days of me preaching, I'd always seem like I caused more problems than I got communicated. You know, I got bumfuzzled at what I was saying. But your testimony, okay? Now let's read on here. It says, "You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted. You afflicted the people and cast them out. For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did they their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, the light of your countenance, because you favored them." Okay? So, he says, what my fathers taught me was that it wasn't by their arm, it wasn't by their strength, it wasn't by their sword, it wasn't by their bow, it wasn't by what they did that got them there, but it was because God favored them. Can you imagine telling people who feel like they have no value in life how valuable they are? Just what I've been teaching you, that they're VIPs, that God will favor them. Because see, most people in the world don't think God likes them because they feel like they've done something wrong. And so that's what holds them captive in this world. The devil holds them captive by that thought because they don't think that God wants them to come to his house. That if they went up just knocking on the door, God's going to say, "I'm sorry, I don't have time for you." Because that's what Christians have portrayed to people. The truth. And then there was one less light. But when you start telling people your testimony and that you're trusting in God for your finances, for your marriage, for your job, for your whatever, and then they start seeing that God is favoring you, wow, folks, you got it made. Now, how do you... And then there was light. It's right over the electrician. What do you think? Think it's a sign? I think it's a sign from heaven. I don't know, Woody. The only light that's going out in church is right over your head. Okay, so back to this. Let me get through this before I forget it, get messed up here. Okay, so when you start depending on God as your source, then I want to tell you something. The next thing that happens in your life is the favor of God comes upon you. God's favor is not upon you when you're doing it by your own strength. What brings the favor of God upon your life is when you are dependent upon Him. Are y'all with me? When you're dependent upon him, Psalms 5 and 12 says he'll surround you with a shield of faith. I mean a favor. A complete shield of favor around your life. So that the arrows from the enemy can't even get to you. The things of life can't come up on you. But it's when you start trusting in him and depending on him for everything in your life. Now, what's interesting is this Psalms is not written by David. This Psalms written by the sons of Korah. This is written by the praise and worship team of the day. So their praise and worship came, or their song came from what they had seen God do. All right? So what they're doing is they created a song to remind everybody what God will do for you. All right? That's why my wife worked so hard to pick the songs that the lyrics of the songs say something about that we need to remember about Jesus rather than just a song. Because if you get that down in you and you start thinking of it and start declaring it, it changes everything around you. Right? Now, I want to show you something. I believe in writing in your Bible. In verse 4, you need to write something. Verse 4 says, "You are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob." You need to just take a pen and scratch out Jacob and write your name right there. And then you need to declare every day, "You're my king, O God." So command victories for Laura. Command victories for Robert. Command victories for Nick. Thank you, Lord, that you're my king. I'm trusting in you, so command victories for me today. Your name needs to go in there. You need to remind yourself every day, and it's an easy one to remember because it's 444. Psalms 44:4. So you made it easy for us. For you guys, it's just remember, it's a pistol caliber. Rifle caliber, 44 Magnum and 444 Marlin. Remember these things. That's the way you help memorize scriptures. Girls, I don't know what y'all do. This is how I make it work out. But it's the 44 Magnum Psalms here, verse 4. Okay? "You are my king, O God, so command victories for me. Through you we push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me, but you shall save me from my enemies, and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever." Amen. So your testimony is so powerful. Your testimony brings about the anointing of God, what God has done for you. Quit worrying about everything else. Quit worrying about, you know, maybe you don't have it all memorized and all together. That your testimony. Tell people what God's doing for you. You know he's real, and you can't. So, and if they want to argue with you about it, say, "Well, you can do whatever you want to. I know what's real." And then set yourself every day to know that God is on your side commanding victories for you. Set yourself every day to say, you know, yes, you're going to have to drive the truck to work. Yes, you're going to have to get out and go through the motions of that. But you're trusting in God to make everything happen. Y'all with me? The other day, and I'll tell you this funny one and then I'll close. They, you know, getting older is, you know, like I heard somebody one time say getting old is not for the faint of heart or something like that, you know, but, or for sissies or, you know, whatever. And I just, you know, this is horrible. The other day I was trying to weld and I couldn't see. And I was welding a pretty good bead, but it was never where it was supposed to be. And I no matter what, and finally I found out that I could get far away and see where I was. But then after my rod burnt half of it, I couldn't get up there to it. You know, I mean, I needed a longer rod. You know, I needed about a 4-footer to, you know, weld. And so I was fighting through all this, and I stopped and said, "No, Lord, this is not right." I said, "You know, the scripture says that Moses, you know, he died at 120, his eyes weren't even dim, and here I am, you know, 50, about to be 53, and I can't even see. This is ridiculous, you know." And I tried with my glasses on, and I couldn't make that work. And so I was just murmuring to the Lord. And I said, "You know, well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to leave it. And you're just going to, you know, I don't know what you're going to do about it, Lord, but I'm just trusting you're going to make it work out." So later that afternoon, Joseph called me and said, "Hey, what are you doing tomorrow?" I said, "I don't know. What are you doing tomorrow?" And he said, "Well, I need to come up to your barn and do some stuff." And I said, "Good." So that's why I have a son. He can weld it. So it's kind of like, it was kind of funny because it was like the Lord said, "Well, you know, why are you doing it anyway? Just make him do it." I was like, "Man, this is, I'm learning. There's something with age you can do here. Call upon him. Make him do it." So anyway, God always has a way to work it out. But do we want to, you know, are we going to fight through it ourselves and just stay hard-headed ourselves? Or are we going to ask God, you know, trust in him to bring about whatever we need? Amen? So anyway, praise God. He's going to command victories for you the rest of this week. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, "Hey, you got some victories coming." So praise God.